Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Scott. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year again. Actually, I was just checking now that we're in 2024 and moving into our fourth year. We are not there yet, but we're almost at 10,000 plays. So thank you, everybody, for liking, subscribing, and sharing this on your favorite podcast platform.
And isn't this our 200th episode?
It is our 200th episode.
Holy
moly. And what a better show to mark 200 than exactly the whole concept behind why we did the show.
Exactly. Oh, and thank you to our friends in Taiwan for showing up and being number two of our listener group. Yay. I love my time in Taipei. I love Taiwan.
Very cool. So anything you want to talk about before we jump into a very big topic?
Oh, there's so much going on in life right now. Okay. I'm going to do a little quick reminder about healthy things. We've talked about this off and on in our podcast. Boundary setting. That means, you know, knowing what your limits are and holding to them. I'm just going to remind people of that.
Well, I'm going to go a step further, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure.
And it ties in with what I had told you about right before we went on the air. I happen to be a big Trevor Noah fan, and he's got a new special. I encourage everybody to watch it on Netflix. But what was so funny about this is that he talks in part about people doing certain things and raising drama and crisis. I'm not going to ruin what his bit is. But the whole tagline is, it's not really a thing. You know that that's not a thing, right? You're arguing about stuff that isn't a thing to argue about. And, you know, when it comes to setting boundaries, the first thing that pops in my head, because I work a lot with coaching clients on setting boundaries and setting goals, our topic for today.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's not a, you know, they tell me what's going on. It's like, you know, that's not a thing, right? That's not a goal. That's not a boundary. That's not something to worry about. And so when I hear you and others talk about setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Part of me, this will tie in, by the way, with our show next week about nothing. it's like, do you actually really need a boundary here?
It's a good question.
It's a wonderful question to actually kick off today when we get into it, to use as a threshold on, is that really a frickin' goal?
Yeah.
Is it really what you think it is? Mm-hmm. Because it may not be a thing.
Okay. So when I'm talking about boundaries, I'm talking about boundaries when it comes to feeling like you're being abused emotionally, neglected, abused for your time, abused for money. So I think the boundaries that I help my clients set are about safety, like legitimate, reality-tested safety boundaries. Also, you know, when it comes to your profession, knowing what you're good at and being willing to stretch yourself into your comfort, out of your comfort zone is great, but don't be a fraud, right? Like, don't say you can help somebody with something that you have no experience with. Or, you know, put yourself out there. It's just a good boundary to have if you're not comfortable working with a certain issue, a certain problem, you know, like it would be like you with law. You know, there's areas of law that you were skilled at and areas of law you wouldn't touch. Like you didn't do divorces, as far as I remember.
For one day, one day.
Oh, one day.
I lasted one day and then set my boundaries.
You see, that's a thing, right? So that I'm talking about boundaries that are a thing.
No, it was a thing, actually. You're right. Uh-huh.
But boundaries over where the tube should be squeezed from, in the center or the end, or what direction the toilet paper should go. Like, come on.
We just had a guest staying with us and they flipped the toilet paper on the roll.
But to which direction? I'm so curious. Over or under?
I don't know where this is going to go, but I happen to be over the falls guy.
Over the falls.
They switched it to under the falls.
Under the falls. Fascinating. See, like, it's not a thing.
Well, I will admit, because I happened to be doing a Zoom broadcast, that's why I knew about it, because I was upstairs. And we have an upstairs living area. And I went to the restroom before the show, and it's like, who turned my toilet paper around? Because this is kind of my space up here. I will admit I flipped it back around.
Well, you flipped it back around because it's your preference.
After they left, I went in. They had flipped it back again. I mean, so this became a thing. No.
Wow.
And maybe we could do a whole show on what the hell the personality means of over the falls versus under the falls.
I have no idea.
And trust me, listeners.
Studied that one.
Trust me, listeners. I know the whole thing about spiders hiding in the toilet rolls as the spider guy. I get it.
What?
But there's a thing called grab. There's a thing. It's another show. Look, make a note. We'll talk about it.
I'm just telling you that I don't have a thing about what direction the toilet paper
you do
goes,
now.
But my partner, Brian, prefers over the falls. And because it matters to him, I pay attention. And that's usually, you know, I usually try to be mindful. And because he cares, I don't. So, you know, it's not a big deal when I'm loading the toilet paper to do it in the way that he feels more comfortable. But he also doesn't get irritated at me if I make a mistake and he just flips it back. Someone's house and flip the toilet paper.
Well, exactly.
That's an interesting, but, that's by the way, the personality thing.
But by the way, before we get into today's show, I do want to mention, because I love Carl Jung's archetypes, because in part, they are built around, in my opinion, tarot cards and the 22 major arcana and the archetypes from there. Mm. And I could go on and on about what the archetypes mean. It's what my senior project in college was when I majored in philosophy. And I want to remind everybody that there's whether you adhere to the Jungian approach or you adhere to the hero's journey and those archetypes, or you adhere to the tarot journey, because they're all the same, folks. Mm-hmm. Let's just use the Jungian one. For those of you struggling with boundaries, mm-hmm. I want to remind everybody that you have what Jung called the caregiver archetype in you. And far too often, we ignore the caregiver. Mm-hmm. And it's as simple, like good, quick little remedy here. It is as simple as getting in touch with that caregiver part of you and asking yourself, what does the caregiver say to me?
Mm.
Now there's some other techniques that
That's
you can
beautiful.
Do, but it's a wonderful way of asking yourself, what is it that I need to do as far as setting boundaries? What does the caregiver inside you, the mother construct, right? The person, the nurturer, what does the nurturer inside you say?
That is definitely a show I'd be interested in doing or listening. What are all the archetypes and, you know, how do you access each of them? I know we've kind of
that's a huge show.
You might have to do like an episode, an archetype.
There you go.
That'd be kind of fun.
All right. So shall we jump into today's show?
Yes.
So,
well, let me ask you as a transition, what archetype feeds the part of us that benefits from goal setting or likes the structure of goal setting?
Well, those are two different things. So,
okay.
And I will do this in the construct again of Jung.
Okay.
It's easier for me. I feel like I'm speaking different languages right now, right? Where you have to say one thing and translate another. And it is so easy for me to talk in terms of tarot archetypes and hero's journey, but not a lot of people know that. So let me talk about it in the construct of Jung to the best I can. And when we're looking at structure, which is both setting goals and setting boundaries, by the way, I believe Jung would have ultimately said you have three different archetypes depending on what you need. And that would have been the caregiver, the ruler, and the artist.
Oh, wow. The artist.
Yeah.
Because
it, believe it or not, there's structure in creativity for me. And we'll talk about that potentially today in setting goals. So, but I think simply the ruler would probably take forefront.
Okay.
Right.
The ruler would take forefront.
Now that's Jungian psychology with his 12 archetypes. When you get into the 22 of the tarot, you've got a variety of structure-oriented archetypes, everything from the chariot, which is the warrior, to the emperor, to the magician, which is also the artist and creator. Actually, they're very similar now that I think about it, with respect to that. And it just depends on what you want. Certainly, you have the hierophant, the high priest, right? You want structure, folks? There are your rules. And so it depends. So when we talk about today, let's just move into today. One of the things I wanted to start with is, do you in setting goals even know what your goals are? Do you actually know what kind of goals you're looking for? And so just as we broke down,
that is so meta.
I think when it comes to setting goals for me,
okay.
Because what I do with clients, by the way, is ultimately in working with them and working through all of this, we create a target, honest to God, like a bulletin board dart target.
Okay.
With their goals, there's the bullseye all the way out to the outer rings. And I learned this technique, by the way, in studying Steve Jobs out of Apple. And the business techniques and methodology that he learned, by the way, from Pixar, his time owning Pixar.
Okay.
You know, I hope our listeners know that Steve Jobs owned Pixar. He bought it from George Lucas before he sold it to Disney. And, in studying his methodology, it became very clear to me that Steve Jobs would set goals and they became like a target for him. And everything out, you talk about setting boundaries, everything outside the target, he said no to.
Okay.
It became that disciplined.
Okay.
So one of the things I'd like to start the show on is something I do with my clients, and that's at least take your goals. And rather than just in a very messy way, say, here are my goals, right? We're at the beginning of a new year. People set resolutions. By the way, a resolution is not a goal. A resolution is a hope list. I like to break goals down into three components or three aspects. One is ultimate targets. Number two are action plans. And number three are knowledge objectives.
Ultimate targets, action plans, and the last one?
Knowledge objectives.
Okay.
So within that, I, and this is in one of my books, I've written about the 12 quality of life domains. There's a bonus 13th one.
Do I get to interrupt you? By the way, Scott,
of course.
I know your birthday is coming up and you kind of advertised to people that you were doing a giveaway.
Oh, yeah, I guess we could do that. Yes. Yeah. So if any of you are on my email list, you can, if you're not, you can sign up on my website, thinkingmagically.com. But if you're not, you can still on January 11th and 12th for 2 days, 2 days only, count them two days. I have arranged with Amazon for two of my books to be made free free. Count them free.
Free.
There's no add-on. There's no catch. But wait, there's more. There's none of that. So the unfinished book, which is brand new. And,
oh, yay.
And The Masks of Tarot, which is a huge bestseller of mine.
Yes.
Both of them are going to be made available in Kindle or ebook format for free for 2 days on January 11th. And all you have to do, you can go look up my author page on Amazon or go search directly for them. One is The Unfinished Book and one is The Masks of Tarot. And they'll find them and they'll be free. So thank you for
and
that.
Is that they have to get the code from your email or will they just be free through Amazon?
I believe that all they have to do, as long as they are signed up on Amazon, I think it shows up as a zero price and then they just hit the buy it now or buy with one click button and it's theirs.
Great.
So
I love that. Thank you for sharing your birthday with us.
You're welcome. So going back to what I was saying, and this is something that I do touch on, by the way, in the Mask of Tarot, this is why it becomes timely, are the what I call the 12 quality of life domains with the bonus 13th one in there. And I think it helps people with goal setting if instead of very meta, that you called it, we chunk down and you start thinking about goals and the constructs of these 12 approaches to life.
Okay.
And do you mind if I share them real quick?
No, go for it.
So these are in no particular order, but I'll give them to you in the order I generally talk about them. Number one is travel and adventure goals. Right? Okay. That's huge for you, right?
Huge for me, especially right, so 2024.
Number two. Health and wellness goals. That's huge for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Number three are personal growth and learning. Number four, love, relationship, connection, intimacy, whatever you want to call it with others. Number five, creativity and self-expression goals.
Oh.
Number six, faith and spirituality. Number seven, work and career. And by the way, I think we actually are going to be doing a whole show on retirement.
Yeah,
That whole transition, right? Just because you are retired doesn't mean you're not working. Let's clarify that as well.
Yeah, present company included.
I'm as busy now doing other stuff than when I was practicing law 24 hours a day. Number eight, lifestyle and possessions. Number nine, money and livelihood. You can also call it wealth if that's more comfortable for you. Number 10, the world around you and society.
Oh.
Number 11, you can call it supernormal, paranormal, unique abilities, whatever you want to call it, but it's that stuff. I like to call it supernormal. And number 12, your philosophy of life or the way life should be lived goals.
Do these match your board of directors exercise?
Say that again.
Did these match your board of directors or your...
my cabinet of advisors?
Cabinet of advisors exercise?
Yeah, that's exactly where it came from.
I love it.
So each one of the advisors come from this.
So for those of you listening, just do a search in our episodes and definitely listen to the Cabinet of Advisors episode. It's an excellent tool.
Yeah, that's taking what we're doing today to the next level.
Oh, okay.
So here's the bonus 13th that I don't believe I've shared on the show before.
Oh.
The bonus 13 that I usually only share with coaching clients, but I'll share with our listeners today, is the 13th realm or quality of life domain, and that's esteem.
Oh, define that for me. What do you mean?
Well, esteem is, I believe, pretty self-explanatory, and that is without being codependent, right? Because that's a whole different thing. I work a lot with performers, artists, etc., who do things to be seen. And it's not just to be seen and it's like, oh, well, there's Michelle doing her stuff again, right? We want
not for ego.
We want the value return on investment is what we want.
Okay.
I'm doing this for, like I do, I've said this before, magic needs to be shared in order to be fully realized. Otherwise, you're a hobbyist at home, basically masturbating with a deck of cards.
And okay.
If you want to do it for your own self fulfillment, cool. I'm good
with
that.
That's okay too.
That's okay too. But realize that in the realm that I work in, magic needs to be shared. And in order to be shared, I want the esteem back, not as much. I'm not going to lie, it's part of it, but not as much for the ego gratification as far as the validation.
Yeah.
That this makes sense. I don't know about most of our listeners, but as a creative type person, I'm not always the best judge on what's good. And I'm constantly shocked, by the way. I'm constantly intrigued by the stuff that people latch onto.
That people like, I know.
So I just tell you right now, this what we're doing right now as far as setting goals, it's a back chapter of The Masks of Tarot. It's at the very back of the book.
Oh, okay.
And I have had more people talk about what we're talking about today from that book than anything else in that book. And it's like, shit, I should have just made it an entire book. Who knows?
Maybe that's your next one. I mean, it's funny. I don't want to distract from this, but I will tell you, in prepping for this, I went the whole science and why is it important to set goals and what does it do for us and blah, blah, blah. So feels in depth.
Well, I think it's important now that we've talked about this to maybe go to some of the research that you've uncovered that says, here's why the power of setting goals is so important.
Why it matters. Yeah. Why do it at all? Like, just go by the seat of your pants?
Right. So the reason that I wanted to start with what we've been talking about is for listeners to understand, you can make it easier by chunking down and taking, you don't have to have, if I say, hey, give me 12 goals, give me 3 goals, give me 1 goal. I think our brain goes into fright mode. Well, it goes into fright mode. It's like, oh my God, what if I make the wrong choice? Oh my God, what if I do? And rather than itemize it, if you categorize it, I think it would make it easier.
Like 1 goal for travel and adventure, and a 2nd goal for personal growth and learning, and a 3rd goal for wealth, money, and livelihood. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Or not even 1, 2, or 3. It's what are my travel and adventure goals? What are my, it might be as simple as to have
might
some.
Have none.
I have to have some.
Or it may be that I really want to enjoy my home more and stay home. It could be an opposite travel and adventure.
Well, not really. It's not as much travel, but it is an adventure. Can you then turn staying at home into your hermit adventure?
Right. Or Brian and I doing home improvement, home improvement projects are a part of our goals every year. And we are installing a new fan, which just came in today, and replacing these weird floors in the person who previously, like every bedroom has a different floor. Mm-hmm. We're like, what the hell? Why is one room like reddish brown and the other one is hatched? And
now I got to tell you, just for listening, for listener's sake, I would take what you just discussed and I would throw that into the lifestyle and possession category.
Lifestyle and possessions. Yeah, because you're taking care of your home. That makes sense. So
I'm curious what you discovered.
Yeah. So, I love research, right? So there was a study in 2021 by Purves, Lee, and He, where they collected data from 336 people across 20 different service industry companies in China, a blend of male, female, a blend of ages from teens to 46 years, average various levels of education. And in terms of what goal setting did for the people in the study is, for those of you that have employees or for, whatever, they found that when an employee was engaged proactively in setting goals for their own performance, rather than a boss telling them what their goals should be, whether they're your parents telling you what it should be, whether than your spouse tell you what, that the perceived sense of being an insider that has influence caused people to have a greater sense of control and influence, created greater organizational trust or trust within the relationships. And then the employees actually had greater success in proactively meeting their goals. So one of the challenges you put before me when we were talking about this is, okay, so there's goal setting. How do you get people to do it? Well, the act of actually setting a goal yourself rather than taking someone else's goals or fulfill causes you to have these shifts in your own perception of ability and causes you to meet your goals. So number one reason why you don't fly by the seat of your pants and what happens will happen is if you actually create goals, you are more likely to meet them. And if you are involved in creating the goal, you're definitely more likely to meet them, whether it's in the business or in your own personal life. So that was one thing. And then, so why does that work? There was another study that goal setting actually changes the brain structure of our, and our neuroplasticity causes our brain structure to change. So when we're setting a goal, the brain's emotional center, the amygdala, evaluates whether this goal is important. And then the brain's logical problem-solving areas, the frontal lobe, define the goals and digests it. And the response tells these axons in your brain to create new connections and synapses, and different neurons start firing. And the result is an interconnected group of cells that work to create behavior change in the form of long-term memory. So goal setting works in your brain. It's not just that you're setting a goal. So that I found fascinating, like it changes your brain. Then there was a study out of 2003 out of University of Texas, Sturfenberg and Becker et al. They found that patients who had multiple sclerosis, who were involved in goal setting about their health, used as a medical intervention, caused the people with MS who had ambitious wellness goals to report fewer and fewer less severe symptoms than patients who did not set their own wellness goals. So in actuality, it changed their brain, it changed their behaviors to stay more focused, and it caused them to improve their health. So instead of going to your physical therapist and being like, what exercises should I do to help my back get better? First, you have to set a goal, which is, I want my low back to be stronger by, and SMART goal, right? So I haven't even talked about the SMART goal yet, but you know, you set a limited time frame and it's measurable, which comes from the research of Locke and Latham, 2006. They came up with the SMART goal concept that your goals need to be specific, measurable. The A is attainable. The R is realistic. The T is time bound. And when you set those kinds of goals, you chunk them down, it physically creates additional, or research shows it creates confidence, motivation, and autonomy. So these are all really, oh, and those who write their goals down, you've maybe heard of this, but it's actually from 2015, and a psychologist, Gail Matthews, found that when people write their goals down, 33% increase in likelihood to achieve your goals than those who just think about their outcomes. So really good research out there about how it changes your brain. It can help you improve your health. It can help improve your self-esteem. It can improve your engagement. And it helps you, just writing them down helps you achieve them. So you know, that I'm gonna is go, like some research stuff.
I'm going to make this very practical for our listeners. And it's based in part about what we have talked before about the cabinet of advisors. Very simply, I have found that when you're creating goals, I understand the SMART concept, and I'm a big believer in putting deadlines on things and all of that. I understand it. But for people starting out, particularly people who feel stuck, it can be overwhelming to say to them, make sure it's SMART, make sure it's specific and measurable. And it's like, and they're saying, you thought I was stuck before?
I know.
Why don't you just put glue on top of the glue?
Good point.
So here's what I have found. And that is, very simply, forget about the time the ticking time bomb, right? That it's okay. That you can add that later.
Okay.
Forget about the attainable stuff, right? The attainable and realistic. And it's like, you know, I would love to have an Olympic gold medal, but I'm not going
That's
to.
It's not quite attainable.
It's not going to happen.
Realistically.
It's not realistic in my brain. Doesn't mean it couldn't happen.
It could.
But for Scott, right? You at least you'll know. I think everybody knows I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to underscore, I think, Michelle, a lot of the times you and I together, not only with this show, but individually with our clients, a lot of what we're doing is we're helping the clients redefine what's possible and impossible.
Yeah, for themselves.
Okay? But let's mm-hmm. not even worry about that right now, because okay. What I want listeners to do is just set a fucking goal.
Yes, that would be good.
Don't worry about it. And here's the cool part. I love the quote from there's a dear man, dear author, Richard Bach. You've heard me talk about him before.
I love Richard Bach.
And I love his quote, "You are never given a wish without also being given the power to make it come true."
Oh.
You may have to work for it, however. Now, if you took that quote and simply exchanged the word wish for goal.
Yeah.
It now says you're never given a goal without also being given the power to make it come true.
Yes.
You may have to work for it, right?
Yes, yes,
The goal needs to be acted on. Let's not even deal with that right now. Understand, okay. I don't believe you are given a goal. And there's a whole other show built into how do we get goals? Do we create them? Do we manifest them? Or are we given them? The reality is, however that methodology works is irrelevant to this discussion today. It's you weren't given a goal. You don't have a goal. You won't want a goal unless you internally are attracted to it and want to make it happen.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Right? We see the things. It's very similar to when I've had in our show, we've talked about the cabinet of advisors, where it's like you admire people who you aspire to be like. And it's because you see something in them that says, I can be like that.
Mm-hmm.
So at its core, I you know, for today's show, I want people to understand that what's going to keep you on track for your goal is understanding the inherent power of just the goal itself. It's because you're not going to pick a goal that isn't attainable. You're going to have all the smart components anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's called a delusion.
Okay, so there. So we are not talking about delusions today. We are talking about goal setting.
Yeah. Yes, I could set a goal to win mm-hmm. the Olympic gold medal in what you pick the event. Pick it. I'm going to win a gold medal in it. I can talk about it. I can fantasize about it. I can get into the feeling of what it would be like to stand on the podium. I can do all those things. But there's a part of me that says, this is bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, and I want you to be honest. You know, listeners, I want you to be honest with yourself. You know when when the bullshit is going on in your head.
Uh-huh. So let me ask you this. This happened in a session a long time ago. I had a teenager, well, not that long because it'll give it away. I had a teenager. We were starting to discuss college, what's life like after school. You know, it's the typical, I'm going to be an adult. How do I, da, 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 da. How do I take care of the bills, right? And so I asked them, well, you know, what do you really want to be doing with your time? And they said, oh, I want to be an influencer. And I was like, okay, what do you mean by being an influencer? Oh, you know, I want to make content online and have people have a million followers and just have people send me free stuff. And I struggled because that's a new concept. An influencer mm-hmm. is a newer business in the last, you know, five, 10 years, right? It's a newer business. So how does one become an influencer. I guess my, oh, and so then my first thing was, well, do you have a social media account? No. Do you post online? No. Have you taken any classes about creating video content or, you know, no. I just follow other influencers. Okay, maybe that's a start, right? Like you follow somebody that's doing kind of like you, you know, go with mom to work and see if you want to do what mom does for a living, or you go with dad to work. So maybe following other people who do what you want to do is a part of it. But what do you do with that, Scott? Somebody comes and like their goal is not, it is a, feels like a delusion because it is.
Well, I don't know yet whether it's a delusion or hope, and I'm a big believer in helping my clients understand hope is not a strategy.
Okay.
But I'm also, you know, I work again with creative people, and a good writer reads a lot. So the fact that they're watching and following other influencers might be modeling for them. Let's
that
go
makes
back.
Sense.
Let's go back to the Jung model.
Okay.
There are various models we could use. Let's just stay with the Jung model for a moment.
Great.
Because I think it's easier to digest. And one of my biggest questions for people in setting goals is why? What the hell's the point behind it?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the models that have deconstructed the Jung concept have said there are only four basic reasons behind what we do. One of them is to connect with others.
Okay.
One of them is to provide structure, which we've talked about before. One of them is to provide a spiritual journey or a vision quest, that kind of thing. And then the fourth is to leave a mark on the world, right? The legacy planning. Someone tells me they want to be an influencer, and my question is, why? Mm-hmm. Now...
Now, good question.
So the when you hear, I follow all these people and I got the, so I make shitloads of money and get free gifts part of your.
I got that part. Yes.
Right. So it's, they're lazy is what this boils down to. That's what this means.
I mean, yes and no, because I've had clients who are professional gamers and professional game developers.
But understand.
And they spent hours and hours doing gaming, and their parents were like, don't do gaming. What are you going to do? How are you going to make a living at that? And they are wealthy.
And but bear in mind, here's the difference. Now they have brought structure to their joy and their fun.
Yeah.
They're doing it for the structure part of this, and they've learned to monetize it. That is far different than just give me the money. Give me the fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me the free stuff.
And I guess that's what I was sensing, is just give me the free stuff. I don't want to do anything. Just give me the free stuff. And we could blame anyone for that. I'd like to sit around and just have money come my way and do nothing.
Well, that's a whole nother show. So the question becomes, why do you have your goal to begin with? And if you can't identify, at least for in the way we're doing this, one of the four archetypal settings, then you can't figure out what part of you internally is driving this. Mm-hmm. So for example, we talked about the caregiver, the ruler, and the artist, right? So for me, in tarot terms, it'd be the empress, the emperor, and the artist can be so many different ones. You know, let's just deal with the emperor and the empress right now.
Okay.
And the magician. We'll throw the magician into it, although the magician plays a bunch of different roles as well. Actually, we'll do the Hierophant. That'll be a better one, the High Priestess, because there's a real structure to that.
Okay.
You know, only when I dig deeper can I internalize myself for a coaching client what's actually driving this, right? So if they want to be an influencer, cool, but is the real reason behind that to make money? Uh-huh. Which is okay, but money is not the goal. We dig deeper and we find out money means freedom for them. Do we need it? Do they need this thing that they want, the supposed goal, because they need a sense of control over the world because they've been abandoned at some point in their life and they don't want to have to repeat that again? Mm. Do they need mommy? There's another way to look at it, right? Do they need a caregiver?
Mm-hmm.
Are they still you know, chasing that. There are a variety of different psychological components to this. But it, you know, in a client setting, going back to your question, because I know we're almost done here, it's really comes down to those four things. What do you want and why do you want it?
What do you want? Why do you want it?
And very rarely do I have them unpack the goal first. I'm more interested in why they want it.
The motivation behind it. Okay.
Because the goal usually changes, by the way. By the time we're done, and by the time you put together your little target that you're going to throw darts at, or more importantly, with my clients, that you're going to go after like a heat-seeking missile. Because there are downsides to every goal. Someone tells me they want to be a millionaire. We actually, as part of that, unpack what the downside of being a millionaire is.
Yeah.
I don't think most people realize what being a millionaire involves.
Right, right.
Let alone being a billionaire.
Right.
You want to be an influencer? Cool. You're willing to take the pain that goes along with being an influencer?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be an artist? You're willing to take the rejection that comes with that? It's all built in. And when they're why, now I sound like Simon Sinek, when the why is big enough, it will help them motivate into action on the goals. But as a counselor, as a coach, as a mentor, a guide, depending on what you are, I think it comes down to figuring out those four Jungian constructs to begin with. It's like, what do you want and why do you want it? Then we'll unpack what it is that you actually want.
So start with why, what's the motivation? And let's make sure your target is aimed at your real underlining motivation.
Which is why I like to start with people on those domains, those qualities of life.
Okay.
Because it shortcuts all of that.
It does.
So imagine your kid, your teenager in session, and talk about, what do you want? Oh, my big dream is to be an influencer and blah, blah, blah. It's like, cool. And then I just sidestep that and say, okay, here are some domains, qualities of life. Let's explore all these different qualities.
Okay.
And then you revisit what they've told you they think the goal might be. And you suddenly, it's very fascinating. I love watching it evolve because it doesn't stay that goal. And they do it themselves. It's very self-revelatory.
Okay. It's a really good target, really good activity to do.
Now, all of that will lead us into next week's show, which is we're going to talk about nothing. Because we've just talked about being busy, and I think that everybody will find it fascinating because you and I may have different approaches to the concept of nothing.
Well, we probably have a different definition of what is nothing.
Well, I'll give everybody a little teaser from my Batman background. Nothing is impossible.
Okay.
Right. So there's a lot built into that, and we'll talk about it next week. Anything you want to end on? I know we probably didn't cover half of the stuff you brought up.
No, we didn't, but that's okay. I think so. I'm going to go into an action item in case somebody tuned into this episode and you're like, oh, you know, I really need help setting my goals. And now we've sent you on a abstract experience with your deeper meaning of life. I'm going to give you a little quick tip, which is if you want to start with something simple, you know, keep it simple. There's a technique called scaffolding, where if you break your whatever your goal ends up being down into a manageable step and you stack it with something else you're already doing, you're more likely to turn that into a good habit and make that goal happen. So it's just a little practical tip. Like, let's say you brush your teeth in the morning and you really feel like you're stressed out and you want to learn how to meditate. One of the best things you can do is stack your meditation or your morning walk or whatever your secondary health goal or whatever your reading goal or learning a language or whatever your goal is. After you brush your teeth, you immediately stack it with the next thing. So if it's 15 minutes of learning a new language or a 30-minute walk or brushing your teeth or learning to make your bed or whatever it is, stack it on something you already have success with, and you'll be more likely to follow through on the behavior change involved in your goal. I hope that's helpful from a kind of practical application standpoint.
I think it's wonderful. And I love the concept of looking at your own behaviors and compounding on those, right? Yep. Because it does, it creates this domino effect. Even if it's as simple as getting up, I've always loved to get up in the morning. I give clients some different things to do, but those, you know, people that want to do things on their own, just get up and look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and smile.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And don't look around in the mirror and look at the wall and look at the mirror reflection of the window. It's like, look into your own frickin' eyes and smile.
Yeah. Talk about self-esteem building. That is if for those of you that need to work on your self-esteem, that would be a perfect intervention I would give a client to work on self-esteem and self-confidence. Look in the mirror at yourself in the eyes and smile.
And with that, thank you everybody for listening. We trust that you're smiling by the end of this episode.
Again, we are.
thank you for liking and sharing and subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. And next week we will be talking about doing nothing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.